you, Jeff, for your nice words. And I would like to thank Roger's management team to be with us today. We're honored to have you, Tony and Glenn.
Thank you.
We don't have a lot of time, so I'm eager to see what you guys have to tell us today.
Right in.
Thanks for having us, and good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
So I'll start with the question that everybody is asking. It's been 2 years now. We're all waiting to see a decision from ICED about the transaction. Can you update us on where we are in the process?
I wasn't expecting that question, Mayor. just to put it simply, the file is now with ICED and Minister Champagne to provide their final approval, and we're awaiting their decision. I'm sure you all saw, coming out of the tribunal process and the appeal process, we were not only pleased with the decision, but the decisiveness of the decision, and in particular, the conclusion and findings that the transactions, which are now two transactions, we will buy Shaw Cable and Quebecor will buy Freedom Mobile, and those transactions are considered to be pro-competitive. And so we stand by and await the minister and ICED's process.
Can I ask you a candid question? Maybe have you provided ICED with all the requirements they were hoping to receive from you and Quebecor, and it's now up to them to make the decision, or there's still going, discussions going on between you guys?
There have been requests for information, and we've provided that. And it's been, to say it's iterative would suggest there's more iterations than you might think, but there's been dialogue to make sure they have all the information, and we continue to provide that real time.
That decision has potential implication to how you operate the business. Can you tell us maybe if you get the favorable decision, what would be, the next step in the process when it comes to integration? Lots of question from investors about how quickly you can begin to bring synergies out from the transaction. How confident are you in the goals that you set initially? And any update you would like to provide us today?
Yeah, it's a really good question. While we're disappointed with the delay on approval of the transaction, what the time has allowed us to do is solidify our integration plans, while at the same time, over the last year and a bit, we went through our own transformation within each of our businesses, within wireless and cable and media. And so we're entering the transaction from a stronger position than we would have been 16 months ago. And so that's been really helpful. So as we think about integration plans, and Glenn will talk to the financial side of it, but in terms of the execution steps that we have, they are locked and loaded and ready to go since we've had more time to do it. And so at a very structural level, more preparedness, the environment is better as well. So as we think about the cost synergies, there's more certainty around where we need to execute on those. But we also, when we look to the revenue synergies, we've had more time to understand what the opportunities are on that front. And at a very macro level, the population growth and development growth that's happening in the West, in particular in BC, has given us a size of market that is bigger than we would have expected 2 years ago when we did the deal. And so it's all about, much like it is here, how do we invest to expand the reach within some of those areas and pick up some of the areas that Shaw admittedly held back on wireline capex to help fund wireless. And so we'll go back and fill those in because the payback's relatively quick in terms of homes passed. So quickly get back on the track of expanding homes passed, get on the track of improving market share and penetration rates. And so that's a synergy upside that is better than we expected. And then when you combine that with, the population growth has also given us the opportunity to expand on the business side of the market, and we see it in our market. Our business today, business segment, is growing double digits, And coming together with Shaw, we think, is a really good opportunity to capitalize on some of the things that we know are working well, and they've got some things working well, but in a very bundled way, is going to help us increase penetration in the business segment, and in particular in the small to mid.
Shameful plug here for our notes the last 2 weeks on bundling. We've seen TELUS do a very good job on bundling wireless and wireline. They're leading the industry on that metric, but we're seeing more and more companies like yourself and Bell lean on the bundle to get more customers, to lower their churn, get better economics. In a world where Videotron begins to sell wireline services in Western Canada and Ontario, can you tell us maybe how you're going to fine-tune your strategy to use the cable subscribers that you're buying to increase your potential go-to-market strategy on wireless?
Well, as backdrop, it's important to highlight that all four of the players, and which soon we can call them all national players, have had experience in wireline and wireless. And so it's sort of interesting here in the Canadian landscape. It's different than the U.S., which has had much more of a delineation between cable or wireline and wireless. And so we all have experience. And so it's going to be about how do you execute on what we've already been doing in new markets. So as we come together with Shaw, you think about the way we think about it. Wireless today, we have national coverage. We're from coast to coast, largest national wireless network. In coming together with Shaw, from a wireline standpoint, we'll have 75% overlap. And we think that puts us in a very good structural competitive advantage position. And as we think about the remaining 25%, just to fill it in, there are parts of the country, but the biggest one is Quebec, where we don't have wireline today. Importantly, fixed wireless access technology has come a long way. And you see that playing out really well in the U.S. And to some lesser extent in Canada. So as we think about our wireless competitive advantage and the alternative of fixed wireless access where we don't have wireline, we believe we have a very good structural position to have close to 100% overlap between wireless and wireline. And that's important. Fixed wireless access is one, availing ourselves of a wholesale regime, TPIA. And you've seen some activity in the industry in terms of our competitors buying up some of the smaller TPIAs. That's a strategy for sure, but we'll look at whatever is most cost-effective and as we do that. But certainly, our view is let's have that 100% coverage. And so that'll be the structural technology piece. I don't want to undersell the importance of execution once you have that advantage. And so putting together a sale process that is wireless and wireline is different. Right. And we see it in our stores today. We sell internet in our stores. And it's fair to say most customers that are walking into a store aren't prepared to talk about home internet. And many times, especially if it's members of the household, it's a household decision. And the person coming into the store may not be ready to make that decision. So there's a whole process of how you buy, how you decide, and then how you execute on it. And so you'll see in our stores things to make it easier, like grab and go, so that we can make sure from the outside the home is turned on and you bring the modem home together with the app. You can self-install and self-install the video better than you would have in the past. And so all those things that I would call the fundamentals of execution are going to be important amongst the competitive landscape. And so we're focused on making sure we have not only the structural but the execution advantage relative to the competition.
Right. So maybe I'll ask a question to Glenn in terms of the financial outlook when it comes to having this national presence on both wireline, broadband mm-hmm. and wireless. How do you see Rogers, moving in that environment when it comes to CapEx and free cash flow opportunity?
I think we've got there's some tremendous opportunity to we've already got a deep national wireless network. that we fully support year in, year out. That'll carry on apace. What we're able to do with acquiring Shaw is take their annual capital spend envelope that they were dedicating to a very substantial extent into their wireless investing. We'll pull that back, as Tony has said. We'll focus that in their wireline network in Alberta and BC in particular, around the particularly around the urban markets, but out into the rural street stretches as well. And that will allow us to get a stronger foothold with bundling. Our wireless network that runs coast to coast to coast will run that together with bundling with the wireline, deepen the wireline presence in some of the multi-unit buildings in Vancouver and Calgary and other cities, as well as some of the corridors, wireless and wireline connectivity along the corridors. And I think that those capital priorities will allow us to take what we already have in Ontario, the model that's been working for decades, and bring it out to Alberta and BC, where we operated decades prior, a lot of these cable systems were Rogers systems 20 years ago. And we know the market. We know it from our wireless presence. We know the business. It's that bundling opportunity, though, is tremendously powerful.
I agree. So when you look at the company a couple of years down the road, how should we think about capital intensity? Are we going to maintain the capital intensity ratio that we have right now within a Shaw, assuming Shaw closes, and the potential free cash flow growth opportunity down the road?
I'll start. But I think at a very macro level, think about it as with the population growth we're seeing, and notwithstanding where interest rates are, in a 30-year cycle, cost of capital is still very good. And so we see it as an ideal time to step up investment, as I said, on the wireline side to get more homes passed. And certainly on the wireless side, as we think about 5G, 5G plus, and capacity for fixed wireless access, now is a good time to do it. And so when you look at capital intensity in the traditional way, I think it's important to sort of look at the underlying outlook for revenue that comes with that at the same time.
Yeah, I think just further on the on where we are in our capital funding, the Shaw acquisition is fully funded. Our average borrowing cost on the bonds that we raised about a year ago now is 4.2%. Point of reference, we're sitting on $13 billion of cash held with a couple of financial institutions. And the deposit interest we're earning on that cash as we wait to close is higher than the coupon rate that we will pay to service those bonds with an average life, similar to our balance sheet, an average life of about 11 years. And so we're fully funded for the acquisition. Our average borrowing costs are sitting in the range of 4.25% to 4.5%. That is easily able to carry our investing plan in growing and carrying the capital intensity that we're running at today. I think you should count on that running for some time yet. We're still investing. We're still growing our footprint. And there's a lot of growth there in the market for us to go after. As Tony has said, the population growth is running substantially ahead of where some other global markets are running. It's running ahead of where we have been running historically. Mm-hmm. And we play very well in that space from the wireless side of things, of bringing in international workers, international students, and permanent residents to the country and signing up on our wireless plans. Vancouver is a key hub for that immigration to come in, as is Toronto. We'll have both those markets covered on a wireline perspective and the corridors around them. But this is an ideal environment for us to invest in.
Operationally, the company has been doing very well since you took over, Tony. I have to admit, I mean, the consistency of the results in the past has, you know, for Rogers has been a little bit more volatile, so you've put in place good systems to see that perform better now. Can you talk about maybe, you know, what's driving this better performance? How much more margins can you squeeze out of your current operations to offset some of the pressure you're seeing on the cable side from BCE?
A couple of things. One, I would say, you know, if we look at in retrospect on the journey we've been on, it's really been about, over the last 16 months or so, a focus back on the fundamentals. And the way we report externally in terms of each of our businesses, that is the way we're focused on micromanaging in terms of cable, wireless, and media. And we'll continue to report those, you know, from revenue to EBITDA on each one of those and CapEx as well, because that's how we manage the business. And, you know, trying to instill that culture of accountability is one that's important for us and has been a big change for us. And, you know, you said it, it's about consistency. And so we look at weekly, monthly, and quarterly, and how's this laddering up to what we're expecting to see as part of a 3 to 5 year plan. So I would say that culture shift is well underway and has been a big contributor. And, you know, the whole team over the last year and a bit has really stepped up to execute on each one of those. And each of those businesses are different and have different variables to them. But they're all very focused on what matters most in each of those businesses, while at the same time simplifying. Just dropping, and you would have seen, you know, many of the offers, some of the value propositions that just weren't hunting, cleaned up our systems, made it a lot simpler, and that was a big factor to help reduce costs in terms of dropping what didn't matter. And so it's that focus, what matters most, and use the assets we have rather than trying to spend a lot of time thinking about what we don't have, because the reality is we have what we need. Mm-hmm. You know, I touched on it in each of our businesses. As we look to wireless, national network, we don't have to rely on someone else for any parts of the country, and that's important. And you see that come through with a very healthy spectrum position, leading on 5G coverage. And so we're pleased with the competitive advantage we have on wireless, particularly when you combine it with best points of distribution. And so that's always been a competitive strength of Rogers and one we've reignited over the last year. And so when you look at our gross adds in the wireless space, all the way down to net adds, we're really pleased. Last year in 22, we would have done net adds in mobile 545,000. We haven't seen those numbers since 2007. And so you're seeing that execution and competitive advantage come through in wireless. On the cable side, we're pleased with the competitive advantage there, too. There was a lot of talk about, you know, what I would call the competitive intensity from fiber. That's mostly coming out of the U.S. in terms of the builds that are happening. It's been here in Canada for both cable cos and telcos. So we've been putting fiber in the ground for the last 15 years, and so we have deep fiber. And in many places, we have fiber to the home and are offering speeds that, if they're not the highest, then at least equal to what our competitor has in the marketplace. And where we don't have fiber all the way for that last mile, we're part of the 10G roadmap for DOCSIS 4. And so for as little as under $200 per home, we can offer speeds, today's technology, of up to 8 gigs, and soon to be 10 gigs, and that'll be in market over the next year to year and a half. That's largely constrained by CPE supply. So we're on that roadmap. But it's important to keep in mind that those top speeds we talk about, what really matters, the consumer is buying today predominantly at 300 meg speeds, and we're all moving them up, but the capability far outstrips where they're at. And the reality is, it's really Wi-Fi speeds that matter. And so we think about modems and pods as being a critical competitive advantage and making sure we have at least matching, if not better, Wi-Fi speeds in the home, because that's going to be the competitive advantage there. And so we like what we have there in terms of internet capabilities. And when you combine it with the Comcast Xfinity platform that we have a license to and Shaw has a license to, it's a good coming together of that product as well. And then finally on media, you've seen a terrific turnaround there that's really owing to the sports-centered assets. And so we continue to benefit from the amount of spending and viewership that sports continues to garner. And the team's done a terrific job of monetizing that. So as we think about the sustainable long-term advantages, those are the ones in each of our core businesses.
Times fly, but a lot of topics that I'd like to talk about, but one topic that keeps coming back is your leverage ratio post-closing and how you're going to bring it down over time. Mm-hmm. I know you don't want to tell people in advance what your plans are, but can you share with us maybe your objectives in terms of how you're going to reduce that leverage over time? Any goals you can provide us?
Sure. Want me to start off? So the key for us is going to be earnings growth and driving the synergies. By far, that's the most powerful lever we have. We will also benefit from having a significant amount of free cash flow. We do today our dividend payout ratio. Many in the room know it's low. It's running at about 50%. When we close on Shaw, it'll be sitting at around 30% of our free cash flow paid out in dividends. The rest we will use to delever while we continue to invest in spectrum and in our infrastructure. So we won't cut off growth to delever, but we will nominally pay down debt with that free cash flow while we can still make the investments that are helpful to grow the business. Growing the business, though, and growing the earnings is going to be critical. I anticipate that we will be able to delever, rough rule of thumb, by about a half turn a year through earnings growth and paying down debt. When we close on Shaw, we will be, presuming we close in the next several weeks, I'll say, we will be sitting at a leverage ratio of north of 5 times. When we close out 2023, I anticipate that that will be down below 5 times or at 5 times and coming down by about a half a turn each year. While we've been waiting to close on Shaw, we haven't been distracted. We've driven earnings growth within Rogers. I don't care where my earnings growth comes from. It can come from Rogers. It can come from the Shaw acquisition, or it can come from synergies. The credit rating agencies and Rogers just needs that earnings growth to help bring down our leverage. And I anticipate that over the next 3 to 5 years, we will have moved past the acquisition debt that we took on while that earnings growth continues apace with our population growth in the country and expanding our footprint. It's no more magic than that. We're not going to be distracted. We have been working on the synergy file. The target well. It's $1 billion of cost synergies, all costs. We will have revenue synergies as well. That's not part of the $1 billion. As we exit the first year, I anticipate we will have a run rate of at least $600 million of cost synergy savings that we will have identified and put into action with the balance to come in 2024. Tony will be and is pushing me for more than $600 million, but that's the target, I think, that we've got that we've announced. That we certainly are committed to. It's going to come from replacement of microwave signals with fiber. It's going to come from content deals. We will be by far one of the largest content buyers in the country, if not the largest, and so we anticipate that that will drive some economies. It will come from your traditional sources of synergy through elimination of duplication of back office, head office type activity. So headcount initiatives. It'll come from rationalizing our real estate portfolio, as well as looking at some of the other assets and operations on our balance sheet and finding opportunities to focus our operations around our core network, wireless and wireline businesses, as well as media, sports and media.
We're running out of time. Thank you very much for your thoughts today. Maybe next year, when we sit here next year, you'll tell us how the Shaw transition and synergies are coming up from the transaction. And I mean, any last words you wanna leave with us?
Well, I look forward to reporting back on in a year's time on the post-integration, and so confident we're on our way to getting there. But as I said, we'll await the decision on that. But I'll leave you with two thoughts. One is against a very attractive backdrop here in Canada, driven by population growth and under-indexed penetration. We've got a good environment for growth. We're investing in that growth. And hopefully you're seeing what you're picking up in our results is a continuing improvement in the execution to capitalize on that backdrop.
Thank you.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you very
next
much.
Up, we have Kojiko.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thank you.